so much for worshiping with us this morning. Jesus, thank you so much for being our Savior, for loving us enough to go to the cross. And we just ask that you, again, would be honored and glorified here in our midst this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Ah, thank you. My heart's full. Thank you all for that. Would you stand up and say good morning to somebody? My heart's full, but my voice is going. I'm cracking and dropping notes, and it's like, it was fine when I got here this morning.
What was that second full run through? I think it's
not normally a problem.
Well, good morning again, everybody. Yeah, could you keep that up? If you could make your way back to your seats, unless you're already there. So good to see you all here this morning. All right. So our daughter Olivia finally made it home from gallivanting around the world. So if you're wondering what's going on with her, you can maybe you can lasso her before she gets out of here this morning. So all right. So just want to bring your attention to our connection cards. We're in that process of doing the directory and the phone list again, and so Diane would like you to fill that out. You only have to do one per family, but just making sure your information's all correct, what you want in the on the phone list or not on the phone list or in the directory, that type of thing. You can communicate that there for her and then drop it in the basket out in the foyer. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just another time to gather here and to worship you. And Father, I pray that that you would help this to be just a worshipful time the whole morning, whether it's singing songs or listening to your word or fellowshipping with other believers, that are really our whole goal is worship you. Thank you for your provision in our lives. Thank you for this creation that we have to live in. And Father, we pray that your kingdom would come soon and help us to be implementers of that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing this series on the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that we see when Jesus is talking to his disciples is that he has an expectation that they will pray. When he says, pray in this way, or when you pray, he doesn't say not if you pray, but it's when. He has that expectation, and that prayer really needs to be central to our lives. I mean, it really should be. It should be a key component in the way we live and what we do. We see it throughout Scripture. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament, especially in the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms literally is prayer to God. Jesus' disciples were called to follow him, to walk like him, to do what he taught. That if we call him Lord, then we should do what he says to do. It's really that simple. Jesus left us a great example of prayer. Many times, many places, we see that he went off to a secluded place by himself to pray. I kind of always marvel at that, thinking, okay, so Jesus was God, right? But he also was man. And yet he still had that personal relationship with his heavenly Father. You know, it wasn't just like, oh yeah, God's there every day and we just, you know, walk along with God. But he took specific times to set apart, to go, to seclude himself, to get away from all the crowds and have that one-on-one with the Father. If he needed that, we definitely need that, where we're spending time with our Heavenly Father. It's that time where we can create, you know, an intimacy with him. But we also see the power in prayer, you know, throughout Scripture. One of the places is Jesus and his disciples, and they're dealing with this demon-possessed boy. This is in Mark 9, and it says, the father speaking, he says, teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't do it. When he came into the house, Jesus, his disciples began questioning him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus says to them, this kind cannot come out with anything but prayer. Prayer is powerful. Jesus knew it. He was teaching his disciples that it was powerful. So in Luke 11, we see the disciples come to Jesus. Now, the Lord's Prayer is in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. So there's a lot of teaching that Jesus is doing in this section. And his disciples come to him, and they say to him, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." This is found in Luke 11, 1. So this is not, because remember the relationship here. So Jesus basically is a rabbi, he's a spiritual teacher, and he's got followers. That was not an unusual thing in the culture, that there would be rabbis, there would be spiritual teachers, and they would have a group of people that would follow their teaching. John the Baptist was one of those. He had a group of followers that would follow him. And so when they come and they say, "Teach us to pray," they may have had in their mind that there was going to be this specific prayer that they would do, because that was something that happened. I found this. This was in the New English Translation Bible that was in the notes. It says, "It was not unusual for Jewish groups to have their own prayer as a way of expressing corporate identity. Judaism had the 18 benedictions, or the Amidah. And apparently John the Baptist had a prayer for his disciples as well, because one of the things they said, teach us to pray as John's disciples pray. So they're expecting, you know, this maybe this specific prayer that they would have. But what Jesus starts out to do is he doesn't jump right into, well, here's how you pray. What he starts to do is the first thing he tells them is, here's how not to pray. This is in Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. He says, this is how you should not to pray. So before he even tells them how to pray, he's going to tell them how not to pray. Don't be hypocritical. Matthew 6, 5, it says, whenever you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites. They love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people can see them. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. In other words, they were doing it to get attention. It was all about them. Their motive was incorrect. Now, what they were praying may have been correct, but they weren't praying out of this personal relationship with God. They were praying out of, how do I impress other people? That they'll look at me and think, oh, wow, look how spiritual they are. He goes on to say, don't pray repetitiously, a repetitious babble. Verse 7, when you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles, because they think that their many words, they will be heard. They just go on and they go on and they repeat themselves and repeat themselves. Or maybe what they're using is these big, long, theological-sounding words. God's not impressed. God's not impressed. In 1 Kings, we see this story on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. This is 1 Kings 18. The prophet says, send and gather to me in all Israel on Mount Carmel together the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. And so they come. They prepare the sacrifice. And the whole concept is what's happening here is, I'm going to prove to you who my God is and that you guys are not following the right God. And it goes on to say, they're calling out to Baal. Oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no answer. They're leaping and jumping about on the altar. They're trying to get God's attention. They cried out with a loud voice, cutting themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. They're just babbling on and on and on. They're trying to get God's attention, their God, Baal. And I love Elijah's response. Well, you know, maybe God, he's off on vacation or something. You know, or, you know, maybe he's taking a nap and, you know, he can't hear you. I mean, he just kind of eggs him on. He says to them, you know, maybe try it a second time or a third time. You know, keep going. Maybe he'll eventually hear you. And, of course, then eventually what happens is not only is God going to answer Elijah, but Elijah says, so dump water all over the offering. Just soak it down really good. And then here's what Elijah does. So they've been going on all day long, hollering and screaming and trying to get God's attention. And here's what Elijah does in just a few sentences. This is the point. It doesn't take much when you're speaking to the right God. Elijah says, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and you have turned their heart back again. That's all he's had to say. And then what happens? It says, fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it even licked up all the water. What did that take? Just like seconds to say that prayer, right? And immediately God responds because he's speaking to God. So no repetitious babble like the Gentiles. So what is it that we are to do when we pray? And again, that's the expectation, is that we will pray. Matthew 6:6 shows us that, you know, more times than not, we need to do it privately. You know, get secluded, get away from things. We've talked about this before where, you know, the things around us, the things of the world just really distracts us when we pray. And so why not get off to a quiet place? You know, maybe you need to go in the closet if there's room. Just you and God. Hello. Wow. He's got a singing Bible. Awesome. And we need to be devoted in prayer. We see this in Acts. Acts 2:42. Where it says they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. They were spending time in prayer. That we need to do it, the opposite of hypocrisy would be to do it with humility, to do it with a right heart motive, to be humble. And that we don't need to use all these big flowery words. I mean, it really is just having a conversation with God. It can be just a few words. You know, we don't need to convince God to do what we want him to do. We don't need to have an argument with him. We just need to come before him with humble hearts and have a conversation with our Heavenly Father that we have developed an intimate relationship with. Because in reality, God already knows, right? He already knows what we need, who we are, what's going on in our lives. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. God understands. He absolutely understands. You know, we can't come to God and say, well, God, you don't get it. You've not been in this spot. Yeah, he has. He's been in worse spots. He absolutely understands. So as Jesus is going to now begin to teach them how to pray, there's not going to be, you know, tricks and gimmicks, and it's not really the mechanics of prayer. It's really more about theology. In reality, well, we're going to learn some theology in the Lord's Prayer. Who God is, how he operates, what his character is. Being able to understand that he does know what our needs are. That he is concerned with our needs. We're going to learn in the Lord's Prayer that it's about praise. About praising God. Psalm 96:4. It says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." We need to seek to be pleasing to God in prayer. Coming to him, again, in humility, with the right attitude, with the right motive. Developing that intimate relationship with him. Because that's what he wants. He wants that intimate relationship. He wants us to come to him. You know, sometimes we may say, well, he already knows what I need, so why do I need to bother? Because it's about relationship. Bless you. It's about relationship. Yeah, he knows what we need. You know, if you're a parent, there's many times when you know what your kids need, but to have them come and ask, it's about relationship. You could just do it, but it's different when they come and ask, and then you do it for them. And that's what God wants, that relationship, for us to come before him as our Heavenly Father and ask him, can you do this? Would you do this? I have this need. Or even, yeah, God, this isn't a need, but it's a want. If it's not good for me, then change my heart. Change my attitude. Ooh, there's a good one. I think of that song. I can't remember the name of it. It's about the storm that's going on. And it's, you know, God, calm the storm. But if you don't calm the storm, calm your child. I mean, that's the attitude we need to have is, yeah, I'm in the midst of whatever. And yes, God, I would love for you to remove this. But if you choose not to, then give me the grace. Help me to get through the storm. And he will. So his disciples come and they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we start next week, really digging into the Lord's Prayer and what all is in there, the things that we can learn about God, and that there's a lot in there, this short, little, simple prayer, and there's a boatload of stuff in there. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the examples that you've left for us in your word. Examples of how we should pray, how we should not pray, examples of relationship that you have with people. Father, thank you. It's amazing that you have kept it uncorrupted for as many years as you have. And yet, it shouldn't be amazing. It's your word. You say that your word will not return void. Father, help us to be not only having intimacy in prayer with you, but also that intimacy in knowing your word, in spending time in your word, in being students of your word, because it's you. It is literally your words to us to help us to understand better who you are, to help us understand better how you want us to live our lives. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a few things announcement-wise. So there is, I don't know, probably a lot of you received yesterday the voter's guide in the mail. Boy, there's a lot of rigmarole in there. Good luck on deciphering all that. The bigger issue probably for us in our area is we have a couple of candidates for school board to vote on. And so out in the foyer, there's a We Believe We Vote. There's a whole lot of other information on here because it covers the whole county. But there also has on there about the Nimai Falls School District people that are running there. And then also just, you know, by way of encouragement to vote. You know, as I looked through the pamphlet yesterday, and it's like, I never even heard of this stuff before. You know, and trying to decipher through, there's a good place to practice prayer. Okay, God, how do we vote? What do we do? So just encourage you all to participate in that. And then we've got, like I mentioned, the phone directory and that coming up and needing the information for that. So downstairs right after this service, in fact, there's people down there eating right now, so I'll hurry up so we can get down. They don't eat at all. There's the potluck brunch downstairs. You can participate in that. And let's see, what else do we have? Just a big thank you. There was a group of ladies that came this week and started the highway cleanup. And so as you were coming out this morning, you may have saw all the big white bags stacked up alongside the road. Gals from our church came and they filled those babies up. So really, really appreciate that. Although it's rather discouraging after they've cleaned up and you drive by and there's already stuff there. It's just like, wow. So, yeah, job security. How's your ribs? So just we really, really appreciate that. And then next Saturday, we have the church cleanup day. And so if you can help out with that, we have a sign up because that'll just help us to kind of organize and figure out how many people we have to get what projects done. And so that'll be next Saturday. So, all right. So God bless you all. Have a good week.